One of my favorite parts of traditional RPGs is grinding levels to beat a really hard boss. But no! Saga scales enemy strength directly alongside your usage skills.
Grinding too much without a plan is just giving the enemies a workout routine so that they can beat you up faster.
Oh, I know, I know! I tried to overlevel and the game just matched my energy with interest.
Lose too many life points, did you?
Oh, boy, did I ever. The game was like, oh, hey, you got stronger? Cool. Now all the local goblins have rocket launchers.
Series creator Kawazu has been making RPGs for 35 years, and he refuses to make a single game that plays like a normal video game.
I know. Every other developer out there is trying to streamline their mechanics or make them more accessible for newbies or anybody. And here we got Kwazu in the back room just adding five new invisible math equations to stuff.
He's the ultimate mad scientist of JRPG design.
We're all just some imaginary numbers living in his complex statistical simulations.
Imaginary numbers!
Now, Cal, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit mixed on some of the battle system aesthetics choices in Saga Emerald Beyond. The characters just love shouting out these dramatic, highly specific philosophical quotes right before delivering a basic physical attack.
That sounds pretty badass. What's the problem with that?
I mean, you'd think so, but it's a bit odd to hear my selected hero bravely announce, "The destiny of the cosmos flows through my blade," and then having it deal like 12 damage to a fly.
The dramatic tension is off the charts, even if the numbers aren't. I mean, you've got to at least respect the commitment to the theatrics.
Classic Saga Glimmer mechanic returns, where your characters randomly invent brand new martial arts moves in the middle of a swing.
Imagine fighting for your life and having a divine epiphany about how to kick someone slightly harder.
I was going to stab him, but the universe whispered a brand new sword technique into my soul.
Pure, unadulterated combat inspiration.
Silly and they're goofy, mysterious and spoofy. Kemco makes them loopy, the Backtrack family. Their podcast is a blast, talking games from the past. They break down every class, the Backtrack family.
Beat. Defeat. Complete.
They trash things they abhor, and praise things they adore. They never are a bore. Backtrack family.
Boost Brother! Snake! Snake!
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Bonnie to my Formia, Mr. Matt Basem.
Oh, you know what? You didn't have that on the sheet that we usually follow. Did that just like glimmer in your head as you were speaking the intro?
Yes, because in the game we're playing, it's the only two characters that I have played as thus far in a nine-part
Ah.
saga. So it's the only two characters I remember. Yeah,
There you go.
I failed my backtrack homework this time around, guys. I apologize. I
All
got
good, all
too
good.
distracted with shiny objects, and I want to finish the game we're talking about because it's pretty awesome. I just Well, you know, Saga is a very stop-and-go series, so I'm just in the spirit of the game. Joining us tonight, we're going to have a Gaijin later. In the meantime, we've got other Q&A Quest alumni, Michael Wheels Apps.
What's up? I glimmered a skill to talk on a different podcast.
Yay. Well, we're happy to have the Saga Master and other Saga Master tonight, because I believe Gaijin was the person that got me interested in Saga almost a decade ago on RPG Backtrack that I listened to when I was a fan. So talk about full circle.
Nice.
Indeed. So that being said, we're just going to have a brief musical interlude and then dive right into the show. Stay tuned. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Saga Emerald Beyond, released on April 25th, 2024, worldwide for Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows, and I guess Android and iOS. I didn't know that these were on mobile, or this was on mobile. Okay.
They've done that to most of the Saga in the past, like, 5-10 years, right?
Yeah, I just thought it was for some of the older remakes, not necessarily for the brand new ones, but okay.
Listen, Fantasy Life I can be on mobile, and Dragon Quest Builders 2 with all the stuff that you got to do in there. I guess so.
But this is the first modern Saga game I've played since Saga Frontier 10 years ago, and that was actually the PlayStation version. I feel like me playing it birthed the remaster into existence, like it always does.
Then you chose an interesting one to get back in on.
Yeah, because I was enamored by the battle system in this one, with it being that kind of timeline thing.
Yep. So it's similar to the one in Scarlet Gray, so you might want to check that one out next, Steve, even though the two play fairly differently in some other aspects and completely differently narrative wise, but I mean, it wouldn't be Saga if every single game in the series wasn't somehow quite different.
Right. And well, right. Emerald Beyond on the Android store is $50.
It's what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
50?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, $49.99.
What the heck?
Like, I thought that was going to have some Square tax, but not that much. No, thank you. I am not double dipping for mobile convenience there.
I didn't realize we had a 100% tariff rate.
Taking the exchange rate into account, it would probably be cheaper to order one from Japan and have it shipped to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, like, on the eShop, what is that? Probably nothing.
I picked this up on the eShop for at least like less than $20 when it went on sale. So that being half a C note is just insane to me.
Yeah, apparently it regularly goes on sale for $25.
That's still too much for a mobile game. I'm sorry.
Oh no, $25 on the eShop. Goodness knows what it ever goes on, if it ever goes on sale on mobile.
Yeah, no. No,
I was going to say, I have no idea why anybody would want to try this on mobile to begin with, so I'm guessing that's just opportunistic shop pricing there.
I suppose so. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail us. I just had some massive sticker shock there.
No worries. So
as far as the battle system go, it having the timeline, and trying each move to see if you can get your characters to move up the timeline, and combo stuff together, and if the combo gets high enough, they'll fight again, is just some satisfying stuff. Now,
Or
let's
just
just.
arranging it so that your one character has no spaces at all around them, so you know stuff's gonna got to go down. So.
Because full disclosure, I am in the middle of playing this game right now. I started Formia and Bonnie's quest. That's her name.
Yep, Formina and Bonnie.
Okay. I started their quest because they had the cats as the party members, like me being on brand. I have not
Well, I mean,
finished it
Amaya
yet.
also has cats, so yeah.
Yeah, Amaya has to find cats, doesn't she?
Yes, but she starts with a familiar
Okay.
who I don't know how he sounds in translation because I've only seen her story in Japanese. But I if he does not somehow resemble Salem from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I am very disappointed. But yeah, she has to find kitties for like stat bonuses, but also she has her familiar with her from the start.
Yeah, I should have realized that from the Vampire Survivors DLC, since
I
that's
was gonna bring that up later on, but yes.
yeah, because that was my context for this whole game, was that DLC. But yeah, I
Which was
started.
a very awesome DLC and should probably be saved for the very end here because we got enough game to talk about to begin with.
I am in the middle of the quest where you're having to revive the egg for the pirate guy and switch boats constantly. I wanted to have this game finished by our backtrack, but I kind of got distracted by other things. See Disgaea Mayhem. I'm gonna finish it eventually.
And again, no worries because this game has a lot in common with Saga Frontier, where it's not a game that you ever eventually finish, it's just one that you keep coming back to.
Yeah, and that's part of why I started it when I did, because I figured it would be a game to kind of pick at during some of the droughts that we've been having. Because, I mean, right now I'm waiting for Unbated Breath for Fire Emblem, and had really nothing new to play, so I booted that bed that up again after a brief break, playing Disgaea Mayhem. And stopping it for that. So, and that's what I like about the Saga series, is being able to finish a story, do something else, and then go back.
Yeah, so like I was talking to saying to you earlier, Fermina and Bonnie at least have a fairly straightforward sequence. I can't remember how much variation actually happens because variation is part of the game's basic structure. But like compared to like Amaya's storyline is going to suddenly stop the first time you play through because I'm not quite sure what governs a lot of this, but the more times you play through Amaya's storyline, the more it actually extends.
Okay, so
So,
she's one of the ones you have to play multiple times to get her story.
yes, definitely. More so than the others, but I mean, considering how many of the individual little worlds that you visit have multiple ways to get through them, and some of them have different variations of scenarios based on who your main character is. There's just a lot to see at times.
Yeah,
I just loaded up my game and I'm running an Amaya game. I probably the third time I went through her and currently stuck in the weird little utopia that's falling apart because of monsters that hate triangles.
Okay. I
This will
have.
make more sense when you get to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it, honestly, this game is very much descended both from Saga Frontier and Final Fantasy Legend 2 for just the weird, disjointed nature of everything somehow fitting together. And yeah, even the weird gulf between worlds strongly resembles Final Fantasy Legend 2 in some ways.
It's been a while since I've
Which
played
I
that.
would recommend that one as well. Either the original Game Boy or the DS remake, they're both good, and they are honestly, the DS remake is everything that was in the Game Boy game plus a bit. So
That's interesting, because it's been a
remarkably not
while
changing a lot of it.
since I played the original Final Fantasy Legend 2, so I didn't make that connection. I did. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, that was one of the first things I thought about was like, okay, so we have these, I mean, just yeah, these disconnected worlds that are joined by an astral plane. I mean, that is very similar to Final Fantasy Legend 2. The fact that Mr. S shows up is, I mean, a
It's
wonderful, wonderful
awesome.
little reference. And yeah, Mr. S. And I mean, there's absolutely no connection between the two games, but at the same time, you can tell where they took some inspiration from Legend 2 and also from Saga Frontier to make this, and because it doesn't really resemble any of the other games in the series beyond that. I mean, there are references here and there, like how Bonnie and Formina, when you watch the news in Bonnie and Formina City, the world map behind the reporters or behind the anchor person is very similar to the map of Romancing Saga.
Okay.
No explanation why. No, zero explanation why, but that definitely looks like Mardius.
Yeah, Minstrel
And
Song
no
is
other reference made.
because Minstrel Song is next on my saga to-do list at some point.
That's also a very good one. So, yeah, I mean, I've still got all of these on the shelf. I come back to them occasionally. It's probably my most replayed series, period. So, just
As
because
it
you can
should
replace
be.
most. Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, I've replayed a lot of Atelier and Metal Max as well, but it's those three series at this point. Okay,
Saga
so
for me was one of those series that felt obtuse for the longest time, but once I did a little bit of research and once I got it, I fell in.
that is a very common experience.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people dealing with that, having the fun of renting Saga Frontier after playing Final Fantasy VII, being like, oh, well, this is a Squeenix RPG. Surely this will be like seven, and no. Not one little
Nope.
bit,
Oh,
other than it being an RPG.
did you not play the Legend games on Game Boy
No, I actually did.
beforehand?
I didn't have a Game Boy until a Game Boy Advance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I played those more than I did Final Fantasy games pre Super Nintendo. So, I mean, when Saga Frontier came out, it was. Didn't necessarily figure it out right away, but once I realized that it was a continuation of that series, it was just like so exciting.
And yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, that's the other thing. Legend 2 in particular and Saga Frontier, those are the ones that you have the humans, you have the magic using character mutants, you have the monsters, and you have the robots all in the same party. And they're the main two games in the series where you can actually say that properly. With where each type of character has sometimes wildly different game mechanics behind them. So.
And funnily enough, it was this very show that I'm on right now, 10 years ago, well, and some change, that sold me on the Saga series because I listened to the old school backtrack that was talking about the Super Nintendo games and explaining the story. And I'm like, this story sounds really cool. I want to get into this series.
Was
And
I on that backtrack?
you very well might have been because I remember somebody went through all three Super Nintendo games explaining the stuff with the moon in one of them and the heroes that got screwed over and the
That must have been me because I was probably the only person on the site at that time who knew the games that well.
So we're coming full circle here because I when I heard that description, it's like these stories sound cool. I need to give this series another chance.
You need to listen through our DS remakes backtrack as well, because that was fun.
Yeah. There you
The
go.
DS remake of 3 is one I highly
Yes.
recommend people play because I don't like the Game Boy version.
The Game Boy version suffered from not having enough space to work with and them trying too hard anyway. So, whereas Legend 2 was just like, we don't have a lot of space to work with. Let's see what we can fit in properly. And they did it well. But anyway, so back to Emerald Beyond. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, six main characters, five storylines. Yay. So Wheels, did you have a favorite storyline on this one?
Well, the one I actually finished was the two cops. What the heck were their names?
Bonnie and Fermina, that's what she's playing through right now.
Oh yeah, the one I'm on.
Yes, Bonnie and Fermina. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
They were
also the
just.
ones I also the ones featured in one of the June Pride articles on ambiguously lesbian relationships.
Yeah, when I was firing it up
Because it was
again,
like, no, I mean,
I
it was
was gonna
just
say, like, I was
like,
trying to remember if they ever made it explicit or not, because it seemed kind of obvious.
no, because no character in this game gets that much character development. But like, I mean, I was
It's
doing this
true.
half as a joke when I wrote the article, but I'm like, okay, so we have a meet cute where they're both trying to arrest the same guy. They have a first date where they're chasing him across a jungle wilderness. By the end of the introductory section, they have somehow moved in together with three house cats. And like, I mean, like, this is just barely short of a lesbian relationship joke. And then when they're making small talk and Bonnie is like surreptitiously checking for bugs, and the first thing she asks for Mina is if she has a boyfriend. I'm like, okay. And the answer is no. So, and nothing ever happens beyond that, but honestly, vibe. Vibe.
And it always pains me when I hear Bonnie go, "You can do better than that for me, Mina," because I feel like I'm doing bad about it in battle when she says that.
I'm wondering if that's a translation issue on that one, because that sounds like the kind of thing that might be worded in a very specific way in Japanese, and
Yeah,
it doesn't
that.
come across quite as well when if you translate it too directly.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the actual English localization on this one, aside from what I saw in the Switch demo, not Switch, the Steam demo with D.Va 5, which lovely, lovely voice acting on her part.
I thought the voice acting on the whole was very good, and that's honestly
No.
one thing I was worried about going into it, because it's like, how much budget is this game actually going to get for that?
A surprising amount. I'm like,
Yeah.
so no, but
Although
I mean the voices are great. I have no idea how some of the actual text narrative or textual dialogue actually happened. So, because that can do stuff too. So, I
yeah.
mean, I have a very limited exposure to the English translation on this one. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
no, from what
yeah.
I've played and what few scenes have voice acting, the voice acting has been pretty good. Though
Yeah.
most of it has just been kind of the vignette scenes.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the entirety of this game's storyline is vignette scenes. So,
Which I'm okay with. A lot of the older games in the series had a lot of that stuff too, so.
again, that's why we're comparing this to Saga Frontier and Final Fantasy Legend 2 so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like that right away. Starting playing this, it's just like, okay, we're gonna hop world to world, loose story connecting those travels together, but mainly it's just you go to a world and stuff is happening.
Oh yeah, talking about back references here. Valhalla in B Emerald Beyond, very, very similarly themed to the same place in Legend 2. So, yeah. Completely different treatment of it, but still very interesting. Okay.
So,
Ugh.
do you
So,
guys want to give just like kind of a brief overview of the gist of the six stories?
let's see. In the broad sense, we have a whole bunch of very disparate little worlds, some of them not operating on the same laws of physics, connected by these emerald-colored doors that lead to an astral plane. And there is some sort of overarching plot element involving these weirdly silvery albino guys who just keep making problems and who may or may not be native to the astral plane. But the individual stories are very much rooted in wherever they're supposed to be starting. So, like, you have Formina and Bonnie, who are law enforcement officers for different branches of the government, accidentally converging on an interdimensional conspiracy, which I will not go into too much more detail about it because you're still playing this one,
Right.
but the astral plane guys have long been meddling in politics to get what they want, and that's a major element of their story is figuring out exactly what's going on and trying to end it. Amaya is a well, I mean, she is a witch by ancestry. She is a magical girl protagonist by theming, and her realm, I believe it's called Pulchra, is it exists on a balance of the game's five magical elements. And it is slated for a massive catastrophe regularly. This apparently is a thing that happens every few centuries. And so to prepare for this, she is currently being an exchange student in, I can't believe it's not Japan, which is Tsunenori's home plane. And so she's trying to build up power so that she can return home and either prevent the catastrophe or at least alleviate it somewhat. But like I said, her the pathing of her particular quest will expand the more times you play through it, is what I understand. It definitely feels like it cuts off way too soon the first time you play it. I'll say that.
I should have started with her. I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, she's a good one to go in between others. Like, yeah,
True.
Bonnie Formina, Ameya. Then Tsunenori is also in, I can't believe it's not Japan. So his story involves the native spirits, portal instability between other worlds. And I'm wondering if the scenario writer wasn't a fan of Bleach at some point, because I can feel a couple similarities here and there. But yeah, he's got a fairly straightforward JRPG hero's path going on. He also has a squad of clockwork soldiers working for him, which is different.
So robots?
More or less, but the words used to describe them are work more with the Japanese clockwork doll tradition.
Right, that makes
They're
sense.
weird little thing. They're weird guys. They do not look like regular
I
robots.
just wasn't sure if they had the same mechanics as the robots do.
They have a different sort of mechanic going on.
Oh, okay.
However,
Interesting.
one of them joins Ameya at the start of her plot line. So if you want to ease into it, you can try out Ameya's plot line. She gets bow. What else here? So it's three plot lines so far. Number four, we have the vampire king of the sort of netherworld kind of place. Gothic Revival Kingdom. Whatever the name, I can't remember the name of that actual kingdom. But yeah, he took a long nap and died, and he's not sure why, and he's kind of pissed about it.
I would be too.
So yeah, so he apparently dies. He wakes up in Valhalla, and so he has and he picks up a bunch of basically picks up a squad who's supposed to be battling through Valhalla with him for the vague war of something or other going on, and they do a jailbreak, and they're attempting to get back to his kingdom and figure out what's going on, while also having individual quest lines for each member of that group. So he actually has a lot of plot line going on, and also a mechanic where he can choose or decide not to turn them into thralls.
Oh,
So
interesting.
yeah, and then the last one is Diva number five, who has probably the most tragic plot line in the entire game, because she starts off as a well, she's a robot. She starts off as an idol in the Neo-Victorian somehow super future plane, and when she's doing some research in the library listening room, she stumbles upon a piece of music which is not supposed to exist. And the fact that she hears it and she can't forget it leads to her having her mind wiped, her body scrapped, and her robot core getting thrown out into the garbage. And
Oh.
that's the start of the story.
Damn, I wish
So,
I played that one.
wow. Yeah.
yeah, that was the Steam demo version, or the Steam demo game, the first part of that. So D.Va's thing is that she can, as the game progresses, she can get access to different robot bodies. So, which actually, I think all the robots in the game can do this, but she has the most options available. So you can keep her cute little canister-looking starter body, or you can upgrade her to a tank. But by the end of it, she does get her D.Va body back, and that's what you end up using for the final battle. So.
So ha having the tradition, it's like a tradition of having very interesting sounding stories.
Yes. And everything told with vignette, because I mean, this isn't even getting into the fact that almost every little world out of, I'm not even sure how many different places you can visit, they each have something going on that is not necessarily at
Yeah, there's
all
a bunch
connected
of them.
to what you're doing. And so, like, the Dark Pirate Sea world, which you're in right now, I think, there are at least three different completely unrelated plot lines happening in there. sometimes involving the same characters, so they're not, it's like three mutually exclusive plot lines depending on who you go in with. So, or like, there's one spot called Delta Base, which hosts an interdimensional research center, and the three departments of Delta Base are not always working together very well. And so, depending on who you decide to work with more, that will radically change which plot happens in that sequence and which boss you fight at the end.
I cannot remember which department I worked with when I went through there with them too.
So if it ended up with the head researcher sacrificing himself to be with with the reanimated corpse of his dead boyfriend, then it was probably yellow.
That doesn't ring a bell, but
It's
that's
a
all. That was also many months ago for me.
yep. So yeah, or
Because I do remember
or yeah,
having
the,
to.
or there's the world that's yeah.
No, sorry, I mean to cut you
Yeah,
off.
making you remember what?
I do remember having to make multiple different decisions for that big beast that you have to find and fight at the end.
Yeah.
I just don't remember the specific decisions because, yeah,
Well,
it's
there's a
been
lot of
a
decisions in the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't
So
know how many of them actually lead to like a different outcome or if they kind of just slightly change the story, but it definitely going through the game, you feel like you're kind of making your own story, even if it might not be that
yeah.
different from place to place.
Yeah, like the Frozen Kingdom, you cannot thaw everybody in that kingdom.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
So depending on who you revive before it reaches the end of the story, that may change which spots on the map are available. It may
Yeah.
change dialogue options.
And
I'm not
there's
sure.
absolutely no way to get everyone's.
Yes.
So they truly up the replay value with this one, not just with the six different characters, but having being able to do
Yeah.
multiple character storylines again and get different
Yeah.
results.
Yeah. And even then, it's like a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these scenarios completely change depending on which is your main character. Which is like I went into one world on the second or third playthrough expecting the same situation happening, and like, no, it's a completely different situation. I'm like, I'm not sure what's happening right now. Uh-oh. That and the Frozen Kingdom has some very different bosses. I'm not quite sure why the boss is different sometimes, but it gets weird.
Now, Liz, we talked a little bit about the battle system before you hopped on. What do you think of the battle system?
I think it's amazing, to be honest. It just is like there's a lot to think about, like manipulating turn order and just trying to get combos and things like that.
Bumps
I
and
remember,
delays, follow through, the sheer number of reaction abilities this time.
yeah. Remember doing the final battle for the game took me a while, just trying to figure out the optimal strategy, and there's a lot there, and it can look relatively simple when you start playing the game, but there's a lot to figure out.
In a way, even though it's not necessarily an ATB, the timeline was giving me Grandia vibes
I
with
can see that.
the delays and the strategy involved with trying to chain together multiple characters
I
and
mean,
or doing an interrupt and having that chain,
yeah.
particularly with some of the boss fights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it could, it, I mean, yeah, unlike Grandia, where you're probably trying to always delay like the enemies, like there could be instances where, oh, I actually want my attack to go off later. So it can combo with this other character and things like that.
And then the different formations on top of that, where some of them give you an extra action point for killing foes, some of them give you an extra action point for hitting combos, and some of them just do it every turn. And trying to figure out, okay, which of these is gonna give me the most bang for my buck?
And this is the kind of game where you absolutely cannot just like brute force combat. And I think I tried to do that at some point. So it's like, no, okay, I need to go back and look at all the systems presented me because the game gives you lots of options and lots of things to play with to find your way to success.
And even basic mobs will tear you apart if you're not
Oh,
lucky.
yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your HP is at full every battle, which means everything is absolutely worthless.
It's been like that for many, many games of the series at this point.
Yeah, I found having the ability that restores LP at the beginning, at the end of each fight is kind of a godsend, especially if you screw up as much as I have. But also glimmering a new ability and then it looking awesome and the trying to think, okay, well, what should I sacrifice to get this in my limited move pool? Because I like having a couple of interrupts on hand. Just for basic strategy, but oh God,
Or
how am I
then
gonna?
realizing the very next battle that, oh no, this character doesn't actually have a one star ability right now.
I've got the scarecrow character in my party right now who doesn't have any one star abilities, so I've had to utilize a lot of the formations that reduce the battle point cost by one just to kind of make that character useful. But and that character's really slow and usually ends up at the end of the timeline, but he also hits like a truck when he actually does get a turn. And other crazy stuff like parries, the ones that are follow-up attacks, that kind of stuff. It's the most complicated but brilliant battle system I've seen in an RPG in
It's
a while.
very rewarding once you learn everything and start to utilize them effectively.
It's like follow-ups, chases, interrupts, and counters,
Yeah.
all of which change the timeline in very different ways, some of which can combo with other things, some of which cannot combo with other things.
And I'm sure that there's a couple of YouTube videos out there that have broken it in half that I just haven't had a chance to watch yet.
No, it's this one, it's really fun to just try and figure it out for yourself. True.
I was gonna say if you if I think you can go back and look at the tutorials for anything you've unlocked, and I think it's fun to just do that and then be like, okay, let me try and start using these and just like run-of-the-mill battles and get
I was
start to
gonna
get a
say,
hang of everything.
I mean, th this is not Unlimited Saga. This game is actually fairly well documented within itself. Speaking of which, I would absolutely adore a remake of Unlimited Saga using Scarlet Grace and Emerald Beyond as a base. Because I feel that it would really jive quite well with a lot of the aesthetics.
Because
Just
even though Unlimited kind of had some BS in it, I liked its tabletop presentation.
I mean, these games are kind of doing the same, a similar thing to that.
You can definitely see the influence of Unlimited Saga trickling through here. It's just that they managed to avoid some of the things that made Unlimited Saga really, really, really annoying to work with.
As much as I love these games, though, I love something like this polished with like a focus on going through dungeons like Unlimited Saga, because this is very much kind of more an overall view of an RPG. I'd love another game like this, more focused on just like going through dungeons, like exploring, doing skill checks.
And again, despite that's why, despite all logical wisdom, we are still rooting for an Unlimited Saga remake.
Yes. There is the core of an amazing game in that game. Someone just needs to realize it. And it really
I mean, if anyone does realize it, it's Koazu, obviously.
I mean, I've seen games kind of similar to that since then. Like, I think it's weirder RPGs like this. There's more of an audience for it now than there was then.
I mean, it didn't help that Unlimited Saga had the worst documentation of a PlayStation game ever.
And just weird controls. Like it when I found out that you have to like press in the right thumbstick to rest, I'm like, what? It's a turn-based game. Why are you even using this button? Why isn't this just an option in the menu? Like, what?
That's always an unfortunate thing when a really wonderful game doesn't have a good tutorial, and particularly with Unlimited Saga, where it's obtuse on top of that. But so you have to go to an outside source just to be able to figure it out. But once you do figure.
And proverbially, the best outside source for Unlimited Saga is an FAQ on GameFAQs that is literally novel length. Yeah,
Or a 20-part video series.
No, you want a text FAQ for Unlimited Saga because you want to be able to
This is
use
true.
find command for anything you
Sure.
absolutely need, because otherwise you're never
Yes.
getting through all that.
You're going to
Well,
need
now
to
you have
reference it frequently.
now you have transcripts on YouTube videos, so you can sort of do that
Yes,
with the
except a lot
control
of
F.
those are done by AI best guessing what the person's actually
True.
saying. And this is, again, Saga we're talking about.
True.
Yeah. No, I'm going to trust the gold text files much more. Aside from the fact that I wrote the one for Romancing Saga too. So, yeah.
I think I actually referenced that your FAQ when I was going through the remake
Yeah, it holds up
review.
remarkably well.
It does, 'cause as
Aside from
much
the fact that
as more.
I never updated the thing for the actual localized names of any places, because around the time where I was actually working on that, my first daughter was born very prematurely, and I just kind of gave up on finishing it. That was 10 years ago, and it's doing its thing. It serves its purpose. Oh well. Oh, okay. Well, I've got about 5 minutes or so left here before I need to run to work. So,
Okie dokie. Well, any final thoughts on Emerald
well.
Beyond?
Well, I mean, I love all of the character designs. I mean, this is some very, very nice character design work. This one cover artist that I've worked with in the past is from Jakarta, and I just forwarded her an image of Formina, and she's just like, yay! Because she doesn't see a lot of Indonesian Muslim women's wear in video games,
I don't think
which.
you should really see that like at all, which was very refreshing
Yeah, I'm like
playing
I
this
just
game.
saw I remember seeing the character design the character art when they were first promoting. I'm like, really? These are some interesting choices, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Especially
Awesome.
since this is the character who looks like she could actually hide a machine gun under those skirts.
Yeah, and she does. And those
Yes.
machine guns are awesome.
This game rules.
Yes.
Well,
But I but yeah.
thank you for your time, Gaijin. We appreciate you
Worries.
coming on to
No worries.
help
But
us out with this.
and also apropos to something we were trying to not go into too much depth earlier, the Vampire Survivors free DLC related to this game is probably the most expansive thing I've seen on that game.
Yeah.
So, since it manages to have one to at least five different worlds in the game referenced, all the bosses, all these monsters, triggering techniques, having showtime events. It's just like, okay.
They
I need to go back and re.
did Vampire Survivor DLC for
Yeah, for
this?
and
Yeah,
it's
over a
free.
year ago. Yeah, I played it last
Oh my
August.
God.
Yeah.
The Vampire Survivor guy did the DLC for free for Square because he liked the game, and Square just gave him the assets and said, have fun. And it's a free
And ooh,
update.
he
I'm
did. All
gonna have to
the
check
main
that out now.
characters, at least a dozen secondary characters and a couple bosses playable.
Wow.
Or at least unlockable. You originally unlock Formina and Bonnie together, and then you can unlock them separately. It is its own little game within the game at this point. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, Saga Emerald Beyond, hoping for Saga Unlimited Sapphire next or something like that. It was not the game I was expecting to play when I started up the demo on Steam, but it is certainly an interesting game, and
Yeah,
I
I
want to
think one
play.
of the better Saga games to come out in recently, aside from the remakes.
I mean,
For
it's like
sure.
the first original one in a while. No,
Yeah.
I mean the joke used to go that Saga went one fairly normal game and one completely crazy game, like every other. And everyone assumed that Scarlet Grace was the kind of crazy one, and realized too late that no, Scarlet Grace was the more normal one. So,
Yeah, this one is much more crazy, and I think it's much better for it too.
yeah, there's something so nice about some like developers and creators going, you know what? Screw logic. We are having fun here. Yeah. Anyway, so best of luck with finishing Bonnie and Fermina's challenge.
Thank you.
If you would If you'd like the solution to the final Tangram puzzle, I have it saved on my computer on, as a
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I have it saved as a screenshot. So.
I found a guide online that subtly enough recommended to not start with Bonnie and Formina for re reasons I have no idea why.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like I was saying, it's one of the more straightforward quest lines,
Yeah,
all things
so
considered.
I
I think it's longer than some of the other ones, so maybe that's why.
that might have been it, because I guess you're supposed to play through because you're supposed to play through storylines multiple times. That one takes longer to get through. That
Yeah.
might be the reason. I don't know.
Honestly, I mean, I've played through Bonnie and Fermina twice, and I don't think I noticed a lot of the variation the second time around for that one. Amaya
Yeah.
is the one that goes weird at times.
Yeah.
So,
But
and yeah.
thank you. Well, a big old thank you to Gaijin for hanging out with us tonight, along with Wheels, the fuck, I am having a brain fart. Q&A quest. Hang on, let me do that again.
Go ahead.
I just the no the ki the kitten climbed on my back and just ripped that thought out of my head. Okay, and a big old thank you to Gaijin for hanging out with us today, along with Wheels for special Q&A quest RPG Backtrack crossover. We are now gonna have a brief musical interlude and then go to the round table. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now doing the roundtable. Our thoughts, our feelings, our memories, our personal experiences. That being said, Wheels, what was your favorite slash funniest moment from the game?
Oh, trying to think. I think it's just when two cops. I'm horrible at remembering names. Two
Poor
cop
man.
characters.
Poor man, Bonnie.
Yes. Just when they meet for the first time, I thought was really cute.
You know, I'm gonna say that one too, since their story is the only one I've experienced so far,
Yeah.
and that was kind of funny, both of them chasing the same bad guy, or as Gaijin put it, the meet cute.
Yes, exactly.
I've also got a small pool of favorite characters to pick from, because of my limited play time, but it's the three cats.
Yep.
I think it's Hiss, Meow, and Purr or something like that. It's all that their names are all
Something
cat
like that.
noises.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember it. I meant to bring my Switch down here so I could look up stuff on the fly, but I completely forgot to do that. So, but yeah,
Yeah.
going on brand, it's the three cat characters. What about you?
There's a lot of neat characters in the game. Unfortunately, like you kind of get some in your party and they don't necessarily partake in the story at all after that. It kind of stinks, but
If there weren't cat characters in the game, my favorite character would be the Scarecrow, who I think's name is Scarecrow.
I think I don't think I used the Scarecrow, but I know exactly which character you're talking about.
Yeah, because the idea of a Scarecrow with a samurai sword is funny to me.
Yeah.
I didn't really come up with a wild card question just because I couldn't think of anything. So what did you have any memories tied to this game at all?
I mean, since I reviewed it, mainly that was kind of my focus when it was out. Because I don't think I was really doing much else at the time. Kind of just in the middle of the kids' school year, so we didn't go anywhere or doing anything. So it was just kind of playing through this game was the main thing going on. Trying to finish it and get a review out because it was the first, as it turned out, of two Saga games I'd review in quick succession. So it was an interesting experience because there wasn't really anywhere I can go online to try and find like other people's experiences too much or honestly get a lot of help. But yeah, it was my main focus.
That does kind of suck when you've got a game so new that there's no information about it, especially when you're when you're trying to review it and get stuck or just get stuck in general.
Yeah, I think by the end it was out, because I know some of the puzzles you have to do were pretty tough. I don't remember if I actually got help with a solution or just figured it out myself, but
Yeah, because I'm pretty
I
bad at
honestly don't think you
Tanagram.
need too much. Yeah, they're pretty tough, but I don't think you honestly need too much help for a lot in this game, which is good.
Yeah, it's just a matter of playing around with the pieces. It's as
Yep.
far as I am concerned, I don't have memories tied to this other than I played it very recently. I can't remember when I started it. It was either May or June, so I just kind of associate it with it being kind of hot out while I was playing it, and putting it down when Disgaea Mayhem came out because that took over my life for a little while, and then now I'm sucked into those stupid cleaning games, and I need to pick it back up and finish it. But God, these cleaning games are so relaxing.
Was that a vacuum pun?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Got sucked into him.
But
This guy Mayhem is a lot of fun.
yeah, I wish it would have had a bit more of a post game, but oh well. And I'm waiting for that
Yeah,
DLC
same.
to go on sale.
You should, because there is very little in there.
Why am
I
I not
paid full price and
surprised?
regretted it immensely. I mean, it's technically a whole nother chapter, and yeah, you can, there's new like monsters you can get, but I think it took me like maybe an hour to beat it.
Yeah, that would seem kind of disappointing, especially at that price.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard rumors that they're doing a ground up remake of Romancing Saga 3, like 1 and 2.
Are
I
those
could see
rumors
that.
anymore? I thought that's out. Like, well, not that it's out, but I thought they have announced it.
I had only
I don't
seen
think they've
rumors.
announced it. Yeah, I think there was a rating somewhere. I
Yeah, and
think it had
that's
been in
Brazilian Ministry
Brazil,
of Justice.
so
Okay, that was it.
yeah.
And I know when that one comes out, I'm gonna have a Saga remake marathon. Because I bought the physical version of the like more enhanced version of Minstrel Song and the remake of Romancing Saga 2. And I've heard
Have
that
you not
3
played two
has
yet?
say what?
Have you not played the remake of two yet?
Not yet. I bought it for Christmas
Because
last year, but haven't gotten to it yet.
that I would say is the best game in the whole series, full stop.
Okay, that makes sense.
Not even like not even close.
I've just heard that 3 has the best story. I don't know how subjective
Could see that.
that is. When Gaijin was talking about 3's story about the firstborn dying at the end of or what was it? Something about the firstborn of every family dying during a full moon or an eclipse, and there being all these cycles. It was something like that, but I just remember hearing Gaijin describe that on a Backtrack many years ago, and just being like, that sounds like a really cool story. So hopefully we'll get that sooner than later.
Hopefully.
In the meantime, something that we will be getting sooner than later is our next Backtrack, which is oh my God, my game of 2024, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I
All
put
right.
about a good chunk of time into that game. I nearly broke my wrist trying to beat the arena on hard mode, and that did not happen.
I love that game
Yeah.
so much.
My beloved Red 13 being playable, and Caite Sith, even though they still pronounce the name wrong. But yeah, I can't wait for next show.
Queen's blood.
Oh
Queen's
yeah.
blood.
Red 13 dancing the moonwalk.
That
It's funny because
game is amazing.
I'm playing the original Final Fantasy VII right now, and going through the areas that were discussed in Rebirth, or that came up in Rebirth, and it's just like, okay, I can see why they expanded this. I don't see why they expanded this, and oh, I'm so excited. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, what I love about that, and also the Romancing Saga 2 remake, is they make me go back and actually appreciate the original game more. So you can kind of you can see It just makes everything in those the original games seem a lot better.
Yeah,
Because you can
'cause
see all the things they pull from, especially Romancing Saga 2 when you play it, because it feels very polished and very modern. And then you go back and play the original game, and not only do the mechanics make a lot more sense, you start to realize, oh, it's not even that different from the original game, which is astounding because, again, how incredibly modern it feels.
I am dealing with that with Final Fantasy VII now. I just got through Midgar, which is re remakes territory, and realizing that, oh, Johnny was not a character made up for remake. That was an actual character in the game. And I did not notice that character until Rebirth pointed it out. And I felt kind of amused and vindicated. Well, not vindicated. It amused me that character was a quote unquote real character. So, and I'm seeing a lot of characters like that I didn't think I thought were just made up for remake that were there from the beginning, but because I mean, as much as I love that game, because the art style kind of sucks, the characters don't really stand out like they would have in other games, so it's kind of hard to tell. But oh, remake's gonna be a f or Rebirth is gonna be a fun one to talk to, and maybe it'll give us a backtrack summoning, finally get a date for what's the third one called again? I wanted to call it Reunion, but that's not it. Yeah,
Revelation.
Revelation, I think. Part three. I am waiting with bated breath for a release date for part three so that I can play one and two again just to refresh my memory.
Yeah, same.
So there we go. I do believe that is a show. Posthumanimous, thank you to Gaijin for hanging out with us today. He had to leave because he's in Japan and he had to go teach a class.
Yeah, special note, he's not dead.
Time zones are weird.
Indeed. Thank you, Wheels, for hanging out with us. Love having you on, like
Anytime.
always. Thank you to Matt, who's also awesome, for editing the show.
You're welcome. Always happy to be here.
And thank you to the listener for hanging with us. Tune in a pair of weeks for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We shall have a chat at you later, and have a good rest of your week.